Paul McGann, the Eighth Doctor. You're listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Hey, everybody! Welcome back to the Happiness Patrol, episode number 140, and we are all gathered here today.
Can I get a name, man?
We're all completely around, we're literally around a table.
Yes.
True.
Yes.
And Long Island.
Long Island.
You know, but enough about that. You know why, Michelle?
Because the Happiness Patrol starts now.
Yay! Yay!
Yeah, we are at Elihu. It's November in Long Island, Ronkonkoma. And we just watched the episode, the finale, season finale of season 8. And man, oh man, the second part of the two-parter finale.
Death in Heaven.
Death in Heaven.
Or as I like to call it, the feels. The feels.
Oh, God.
So, this was pretty amazing. But first of all, hey, everybody, hope you guys are doing great. We're doing fantastic because we don't hardly ever get together without the use of Skype and a computer and a network that's going down.
Flung out all over two countries.
We haven't had to yell at a child to get off YouTube.
That's right. We're proud of it. We're very happy about that.
Or Skype.
Oh, man, you know, coming to these conventions are so nice because we get to see, you know, people that listen to the show and our friends on Facebook that we never get to see.
I want to give a special shout out to the Elihu folks that are here because quite a number of them come up to us and either said I already listened to the podcast or they came to the live recording.
Hi, Paul and Laura.
And Mark. And a bunch of others, and people we haven't met before.
People
that have not been paid by our mothers.
That's true.
People who recognized our voices when they heard us talking in the hall,
or just saw us walking down the hall, recognized us from Facebook.
We're in the shuttle van, which was kind of funny.
Really,
I had somebody say, "I'm wearing my Happiness Patrol shirt," and somebody was like, "Hey, nice shirt! I know that show."
So what was I saying? Oh yeah, so hey, Nancy.
Hey, Lewis.
Good to have you back. Good to see you in the flesh. Give me a high five. There you go. You see, you can't do that.
We have sound effects on this.
We're all in the same time zone.
That's right. And you're doing okay, right, Michelle?
I'm fine.
See, I can actually look at a person and say, "Hey, you're doing all right," and not even mention their name. And they can answer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Which is great for radio.
Yes, it is.
We might actually even clam up when we see somebody else talking.
Oh my God. That might happen. I know.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about Elihu, but first we're going to talk about, what was the name of the damn thing again? Death in Heaven.
Death in Heaven.
Death in Heaven, that's right. Yeah.
You didn't say hi to Chaz.
Hey, Chaz.
Oh, me.
Hey,
yes.
Chaz.
Over here.
I like your Cyberman headphones.
I'm just a sack of chopped liver.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a photo of you.
Yeah,
right
the Cyberman.
Right now with the Cyberman headphones.
I do. I have on some new blue headphones from Blue Microphones Company. They've made headphones.
They really do.
And they make you look like a Cyberman, but it's the most enjoyable set of headphones I've ever put on.
The way it works.
Yeah.
Makes music ultra enjoyable, but then also keeps you isolated away from humanity, who, let's face it, are the problem.
See, it's just like that. It's just like Rise of the Cybermen.
Yeah. Do that.
Turn your head just slightly. There you go.
Yep.
Perfect. I'm going to put that up on Facebook right now. So anyway, Death in Heaven, the second part of the season finale. The first part, like I said, to me, it was a little suspenseful. It built up. But after seeing the second part, boy, it all came together, and it all came together great. We now know not only who Missy is, but her evil plan with Cybermen, involving yes. Cybermen.
And it was a crazy plan in the Master tradition.
Absolutely. And boy, if you didn't like Missy before, and I did not like Missy at all. I really didn't. You know, the whole lipstick thing and the whole craziness. I just
goth steampunk Mary Poppins. You didn't like?
Yeah,
goth steampunk Mary Poppins. That was just straight up Mary.
It was totally
crazy ass middle aged women. Gotta give me the creeps nowadays. But that's okay. Hey, don't
well, then
me
you're
like
in
that.
Trouble because you're in a room with two of them.
Yeah,
but you're not like getting all crazy, cray, cray.
I don't know.
It's early.
You guys,
yeah.
I did like when she said, but I'm banana.
Yeah. So that's pretty spooky. So, wow, this one to me was amazingly good and so much better than the last part. The conclusion was great. Let's just dive right into it. Michelle, tell me, first of all, did you like it better than the first part?
Yes, it did. I didn't dislike the first part, but I was kind of meh about Missy, and that it mildly irritated me that I didn't feel stronger about a Master reveal, and I think I can very confidently say that there are not many people left who are feeling meh about Missy after the second episode.
No, we have opinions.
Yeah. And I think that everybody who listens to this podcast has seen pictures of me at cons in a certain costume, which I am currently wearing.
Wearing it right now.
And we will talk about that later. But overall, I did enjoy the episode. It made me cry in bad and good ways. Yeah. It did punch me in the feels, and and I think this is a good ender for this season. It's kind of an Empire Strikes Back type ending. Really, I mean, it's a slightly more uplifting, but you know, it really leaves some things up in the air, mm-hmm. And not in necessarily good things, and I think that you know, I'm looking forward to the Christmas special. I'm looking forward to next season.
I am too. So Nancy,
yes, Lewis,
now you saw both episodes. Now which one did you like the best?
I liked the first one better.
Okay, now why?
I think I'm in the minority here. I like the buildup.
Uh-huh.
And I like the resolution sometimes leaves me flat. You know, like I was just looking it up. Utopia and Sound of Drums I liked much better than Last of the Time Lords. And I think this is the same. I didn't like the precursor to the last one. But yeah, I like last week better because I like the reveal. You know, I always love reveal of the Master. Mm. I think that's it too. You know, that was the same thing I loved in Utopia. I mean, the reveal of the Master in that was epic and was the best ever. And I thought actually this comes number two in my list of reveal of the Master because I thought it was really, I like that. I like the foreplay.
So you like
that's what she said.
Literally,
that is what she said. So the Master, Missy being revealed as the Master. So you're down with Missy being the Master.
I think I said that last week. I do like it because I adore Michelle Gomez, which I've been saying all along. Yeah. And I did maybe have an inkling at the back of my head earlier in the season that she might be. And I was okay with that because I think, you know, your Master has to balance your Doctor. And they're both Scottish.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So, and a little wiry, and a little tense, you know. And
a little older.
And a little older. She's
a little
younger
dark.
Than, she's like a little younger than him. But I think she works perfectly well as a Master. And I loved her Mary Poppins moment in this. I mean, they just, you know, they were kind of skirting around the whole Mary Poppins thing. And then they just like, full on, there's the umbrella.
Let's just do it. I want to come back to the Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Overall, I did prefer last week, though, because I thought, you know, and I've only seen it once, but there were a lot of little things that kind of were tickling me in my brain in the wrong way. Like, I was really kind of unhappy with the deaths. I thought the deaths were a little harsh.
One in particular.
Yeah, one in particular. Not even that, you know, and I kind of don't like bringing the brig back. It's kind of, it's like when they brought Rose back. It's like, we said goodbye.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah, well.
And when you bring it up again, it's almost like pulling that knife out again and giving another twist. Yeah,
but, you know, it wasn't, well, it was the Brigadier. But, like, it wasn't nearly as obvious as, like, say, Rose, you know, popping up.
No, but, it was. But it was, it reminded me of that. It's like, when things are done, I think they're done. And I don't like dredging them up again.
Okay, I got you. So, generally, you didn't like this one as much as you liked the first one.
I did like it, but
together,
I did like
together.
I think as a pair, they work better than Sound of Drums and Last of the Timelords.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
It didn't have a big reset button at the end, but it was pretty damn close.
Yeah,
to a reset button. Yeah, I don't want to call it a reset button, but it was a wipe the slate, wipe the whiteboard button.
Okay, cool. So, Chaz?
Yes.
You liked it?
I did. I liked it a lot. I'm going to disagree with Nancy on one minor point, which is that because the Matt Smith saying goodbye to the break thing was such a short little bit, you know, they remember he...
But it was appropriate.
He phones up and turns out he's died and he feels sad, and then they quickly move on. And I kind of liked that they brought it back for a proper, you know, there's a portrait on the wall and the salute thing. I thought that was a proper send off, and I have to admit I had some feels there, particularly when he finally got that salute he was looking for. So I was okay with that. The episode overall I liked a lot. There's a few things that I'm still processing the Cybermen in the Age of Iron Man. that we now have. That was very, very Iron Man. Somebody was complaining about, why do they suddenly fly now? Iron Man is why they suddenly fly now.
Yeah.
If there's a movie monster, if Doctor Who ever gets made into a proper film again, I'm betting that they're going to use the Cybermen as the enemy, and the Daleks, of course. But flying. So overall, I liked it a lot. I thought the two parts really brought the story home, finished up, and I thought it matched the season well. This has been, for better or for worse, and not always perfect, but this has been one of the better seasons we've had in recent years, I think, is it fair to say.
Yeah.
And so I thought this finale matched what had gone on in the season before and didn't suddenly change everything.
Wow.
Like we got in season seven.
Well, let's talk a little bit about... I may be getting ahead of myself, but let's talk a little bit about the season as a whole, as far as like what the point that you just brought up. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people have looked at this season and gone, "Holy moly!" They just you know, we know one person in particular who shall not be named, who just sort of like said, "You know what? I've had enough of this new Who, because you know it's I'll come back when it starts making more sense." And I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with it that much, because I'm looking for all the sunshiny points, of course. But it has been a season of ups and downs, and like great stories. Good stories that had like what the hell moments, and also bad stories that were just, or not bad stories, but mediocre stories that were made better just simply because of production, like direction and photography and such as that.
Oh, Capaldi.
Yeah.
Well, and overall, we've had just great, we've had Capaldi bring the entire thing together. And I think for a first season Doctor, this was amazing. He's just been as good as Eccleston to me, as far as like, this is his first season.
And one of the things I liked about the finale is we really got much more of a range of emotion here. He did actually crack a smile. Among other things, and his eyebrows didn't fall off. Hurrah! He really showed up, in particularly in this episode last night, he really showed a greater range of emotion we've seen this season.
Yeah.
Well, he was allowed to.
He is a fine actor.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is not a question. I like it because it's very consistent, as opposed to, say, last season. Last season was kind of had some really tremendous ups and downs. Whereas the downs this season weren't very down at all. And I appreciate that. I think some effort has been made, and that I think this season has been very consistent, and I like that.
So as we're sitting here on Sunday at Elihu,
yes,
just after watching the episode, mm-hmm. We watched it. This is the first time that the Happiness Patrol has ever been in one room watching an episode of Doctor Who as it
all together.
And that was an experience in itself.
Yes, I found out I don't like these people.
Yeah, I don't want to watch.
Just kidding.
I don't want to watch TV with these guys.
So I cried too loudly.
But we also got to watch it with a group of people.
We ran. We literally ran from our screening to the next screening.
Yeah. And then right after this, which I think is very clever on Ken Deek's part planning this, they had an instant reaction to the episode panel.
Where, triage, as I like to
call it. And everybody was in there. Now, I didn't go to that because I really didn't want it to influence my opinions on the episode before the recording. So, but Chaz, you and Michelle were there.
Yeah.
And so, what was it like? What was that like?
Well, Michelle had an entirely different experience than I did.
I'll explain
how Michelle is dressed.
Yes, because of the way she was dressed. And I'll let her talk about that. Uh-huh. I will say what about... Sean Lyon from Gallifrey hosted the panel.
Mm-hmm.
It was so nice of him to do. And I really think he was a very calming influence there.
Yes.
And very accommodating.
Yes.
He if somebody came up with some weird-ass fan theory from way out there about what happened, he was like, could be, might be this. And
he was firm but fair.
Firm but fair. So I thought he did an excellent job. But I thought... This is the reason why I was rushing from our screening to the other screening, because when you see Doctor Who in a group, let me talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
When you see Doctor Who in a group, you get an open expression of your feelings.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And gasps and crying or laughter or whatever. And that, to me, is an invaluable bit of feedback on how the episode is actually working with real people. And one of the things I love about Doctor Who is people are so into it. It is just like the golden age of television, where people really leaned in and watched these shows intensely, and that's when we get that. And of course, with an episode like this, we get a lot of that.
Yeah.
And the gasps and the surprise, the laughs, and in this case, some tears. We literally had a Kleenex run.
Yeah.
At the end of the episode, and I was so grateful to get that because not everybody hits on the same emotions all the time.
Right.
If you hated Missy, for example, you might cheer when she gets zapped.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were really rooting for Missy to be a continuing character,
right,
then you'd be like, what?
Yes.
Yes. Moffat.
Yeah, but you don't know if she's gone, too. Every time the Master gets killed, you're never entirely sure.
That's true. So I have a theory about that, but I'll get to that.
Yeah.
But so it was really... It was really like a different thing to see everybody in one place immediately after the show, all talking about.
So then we went on. So we went on from the second screening where just a group of us were watching the episode. And then we went into this big hall where we got a chance to discuss it. And it was a little cacophonous at first, but we eventually initiated a system of raising your hand and explaining what you thought, what you thought of it. What struck me about that was that people were fixated on the big trauma moments. And there was very little discussion of the episode, the overall story.
Right.
Just what do you think happened at the end there, or what do you think this person is going to come back or that person is going to come back, so the big trauma moments are the things that leave the most visceral, immediate impression.
Right.
And then we sort of, and the panel said this several times, we're still processing the rest of it.
Right.
Like a big hard drive.
That was another reason I wasn't really sure if I wanted to go and see the reaction like that, because I'm even now when we're recording it was such a, there were such dramatic moments. It's kind of like, what? But I thought about it a little bit more, and I'm okay. Now, One of the huge moments, Michelle.
Yes.
Last night.
Yes.
Was the death of a beloved character. Yeah. Now, big spoiler. Spoiler, don't go forward.
Before I talk about that, I want to talk a little bit about my experience in the instant reaction panel.
Yes.
I agree with Chaz. Mm-hmm. I probably beat the subject to death in previous episodes, you know, BBC Home Entertainment used to do screenings of classic episodes at the Alamo Drafthouse and in other places in other cities. And getting to watch stories that I was very familiar with a large audience, right. Some of which who were very old and very familiar, some of whom were very young, and some of whom were experiencing Classic Who for the first time. And that's a really... I know when we were watching it together and I realized that the Cyberman in the graveyard at the end was the Brigadier, I was literally stifling myself. Like, tears were starting to run down my... But I was like, I know that, you know, Lewis likes it quiet when he's watching for the first time.
Yeah.
But when...
And he likes some Kleenex nearby, just in case.
Yeah. But when we were in the... After we had run from our... Chaz and I ran from our watching it to the screening in a smaller screening room... I was like, when I was trying to stifle it, you know, up until the point that I remembered realizing it so that I wouldn't spoil it for anyone else.
Right.
So then I walked out of that room to head to the panel, and the first person I saw was a Sarah Jane cosplayer, and she just looked at me and she's like, "You can't be dead," because I was dressed as Osgood. I watched the episode dressed as 50th anniversary Osgood, We hugged it out, and then I continued on, and I got a lot of "I'm sorry for your losses." And I walked into the panel. The instant reaction panel was in full swing.
Right.
I walk into the panel, and Deb Standish from the Verity podcast was mid sentence, and I was like, "Oh, you know." And I always pay attention when Deb says something because I fangirl Deb. I love everything she says. And so I look up. I stop to listen to what she said. I don't even remember what she said because she stopped mid word. Saw me and sobbed. Yeah. And then the whole, all 600 people in the ballroom turned and looked at me and went, "Oh." And I was like, "I'll be available for hugs later. I understand."
I'll be available.
And then Sean Lyon said, "You are probably the most beloved person in this room right now." And then everybody applauded. And I was almost gonna cry. And I'm under no delusion that any of that love is for me personally. I mean, I'm happy that people appreciate the costume.
We love you, but... Yeah,
but
you do look so much like her in the costume.
I resemble her quite a bit, and that's kind of... It's kind of become a responsibility now. but, yeah, I'm... So, yeah, that was my experience at the... And then we sat down and As Chad said, people were very fixated on the trauma moments, and I got to. Sean called on me like twice, and I tried to bring it around to something slightly less traumatic, but I failed.
Yeah.
Because people would just go back to the trauma.
Yeah, yeah. Out of that episode, the two most useless characters in that entire 45-50 minutes of show were those two guards.
Oh yeah,
they're Missy.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
like, she goes, "Oh, come here, I want to whisper something to you, I've got something," you know, and the guards, you know, a guard would normally...
They don't even react.
Yeah, they don't even react. You know, you think a guard would go like, "I'm sorry, ma'am, you can't do that." And then, like, you know, she's, like, out of the handcuffs. And, like,
clearly,
and
they were guards from the bank. They must have been the guards from the bank.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's like, "Oh, crap, we lost our job. Our old employer exploded. We better go get a new job."
Yeah.
Talk about window dressing. That was horrible. So,
that was
pretty
bad.
So that was great. You got a lot of love last night.
Yeah, and I continue to get a lot of... There are many group hugs. And people... It's funny, because people walk up to me and they say, "I can't believe you are dead." Like,
yeah,
I'm so sorry you were
like
killed.
You.
And one person was like, I realized I'm a little bit heartless, because one person came up to me and said, and put her hand on my arm and said, "At least you weren't a Cyberman for very long." And then I said, "No, ma'am, there wasn't anything left of me to make into a Cyberman."
Aww.
And then there was a horrible pause, and then she went, you're right.
Yeah.
God.
And then she said, well, maybe the master killed the Zygon, Osgood. I'm like, well, maybe it's the Zygon Osgood that's still alive. Like, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I am deeply displeased about the character's death, and we'll talk about that. But if you think for a moment that I'm not going to take a mason jar and put some ashes and a broken pair of glasses in it and occasionally take Osgood out for a shake, you are mistaken. I'm going to hold up the jar and be like, which one of us is a Zygon, everybody?
In this particular episode, we see a woman who's more mature in her role.
She's much more confident than she was.
Much more mature, much more
quite
confident.
Changed,
yeah, I think kicking a Zygon's ass will really do that too.
Probably. So. And she's like, you know, she's like, boom, she's the assistant to the scientific director of unit. And she's there.
Yeah.
And she's solid in her performance. And it was really rough. And, you know, and just last weekend, we actually met her. Yes. And Hurricane Who.
Ingrid Oliver.
And she knew. She knew.
Yeah, can you imagine?
That poor lady.
Knowing that your character's going to be
I feel particularly stupid saying, see you next week.
Did you really? Wow.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, my God. She must have laughed her ass off later.
Oh, God. But, so that was one death. Now, let's turn the tables down. Let's talk a little bit about Danny Pink.
Yeah.
Now, last episode, he was lost in the Netherworld. Nethersphere. Thank you. And, like, we weren't sure how he was going to get back. We had our theories and everything. So, when... So, the Master starts downloading, you know, all these souls into, you know, their new site. Yeah, the Gallifreyan hard drive into their new... Resurrection. They should have just called this Resurrection of the Cybermen.
Well, you know? The thing is that, as I said last, I think I said it on the last episode, that Danny Pink is, the body's dead.
Right.
And, and that this, so this therefore can't be Danny Pink. And I was, that was a stupid fan theory that was half right.
Uh-huh.
And it's very much like Science Library and the Matt Smith, the first, the season opener, Matt Smith with Clara and the Spoonheads.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very much like that.
Yeah. It was amazing. But Danny, we see Danny basically being the good boyfriend in this.
Well, I think not necessarily a good boyfriend. I think he's just a good man.
Yeah.
I think he has a very strong sort of moral compass and he follows it.
Yeah. And
well, the whole soldier thing finally played out.
And that amazing scene where the Master says, Doctor, I'm giving you a gift. President of the world, here's your army to command.
Well,
you know, you can do all kinds of good or
this
whatever.
This leads me to my one main criticism of the episode, and believe me, this is a nitpick of minor proportions, but it's bothered me for quite a while now. I didn't care for the John Sim Master very much because of all the crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm old school, Roger Delgado, Anthony Ainley, not nuts.
Yeah.
You want to see your snively whiplash.
I did not mind that he was a little crazy.
Uh-huh.
He's gone through a lot. He's been dead more times than Rory.
So,
So that would make a person a little wacky. When we first saw the John Sim Master, I was like, this guy's a little nuts, but I can deal with it. Mm-hmm. But then it just got... more and more nuts, and now the character is just nuts. He's whip smart nuts. Is now whip smart nuts, and that's not the Master to me.
It's not your master.
Right? I feel like if Roger Delgado had watched that episode, he would not approve.
I don't know.
I'm not saying anything bad about Michelle Gomez. She totally sold that role.
Well, I saw Michelle Gomez almost as a heavier version of Anthony Ainley. Oh, what's the one Keeper of Troughton. Yes!
Keeper of Troughton.
Yes,
thank you. I think that's Fraser Hines these days.
Or the kid who's... I feel so terrible. I can never remember his first name, but there is a guy here at LA who cosplays the Second Doctor, and I met him last year, and he totally freaking schooled me. I'm like, oh, hey, your bow tie is safety pinned on. You can see the safety pin. He's like, yes, I know. That's how Trouton wore his bow tie. And I checked, and he was right. And so last night that kid was cosplaying Salamander.
Yeah.
And I said, you look amazing. And he said, thank you, my friend, in Salamander's voice.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, my friend.
I love him.
I don't drink Corona all the time, but when I do.
It's Dos Equis. We were on a cosplay panel together, and he's very shy, but he is super into Trouton, and
he's in costume, he's not shy at all.
No. He's very friendly. Yeah. When he's in costume.
Yeah. So anyway, we got a little round of the point there, but that's okay. It was totally worthwhile.
Bottom line is, I was hoping that this regeneration of the Master would go back to being sinister, not wacko.
Right.
And sadly, we didn't get that. It doesn't bother me so much that I'm quitting the show or anything. Uh-huh, uh-huh. But I hope that if they do ever bring back the Master or Mistress again, that perhaps we could just go back to being sinister.
Well,
a little less nuts.
What do you think? What do you think she meant by giving the Doctor control of all the Cybermen? What was she doing?
This has been the thing that's been going on the whole time.
Uh-huh.
Is we had Davros try and articulate it, and Missy finally comes around to it. This is what you really want,
right?
And this is because you keep building it. She actually said it. He said, "I don't want an army." I said, "Yes, you do."
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You keep making people into soldiers.
Right.
And that theme keeps popping up.
This is a nice unification with the RTD era.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so she said, "So I went and got you one because I'm bananas." I actually thought that she was showing him his true self.
Yeah.
And remember, this Doctor is still defining himself a little bit.
Yeah.
And he had flashbacks to reinforce that.
Well, and we're also reinforcing that the Master loves the Doctor.
Oh, yes.
That was actually, I was just telling Lewis yesterday, the one time in the RTD era that I was absolutely sobbing was when John Sims' Master dies in the Doctor's arms.
Yeah.
And that just killed me.
Yeah. Just to spite him.
Yeah, just despite, but the fact when he's dying, the Doctor just loses it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, he loves him.
Yeah.
And, you know, that killed me. And we had that coming back, that the Master loves the Doctor too.
This is the whole Cain and Abel thing.
Oh,
To the nth degree.
Yeah.
And yes, they do love each other, but even that last lie.
Uh-huh.
Peter has to go and check at the end of the episode. He still had to go.
He still
had to check it. Right. He knew perfectly well.
Yeah.
That wasn't so simple.
That, to me, was the most emotional part of this entire episode.
Yeah.
When he's banging on that console.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
Because the Master,
I made you look.
When Missy said, say something nice, please, and he said, you win.
Yeah.
That was their entire relationship in five words.
Yeah.
Wow.
When he was hitting on the console, she got me again. I am Charlie Brown, she is Lucy.
That is exactly right.
Oh,
yeah.
And the football is Gallifrey.
Yeah. Football is Gallifrey.
That's a good one.
I like it. So not everybody became a Cyberman. Selected people.
Everybody would have become a Cyberman in time.
Yes.
Oh, okay, I got you.
But in particular, the first people, that's why she was collecting the bodies.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Was the first Souls. People were those, was the software,
yeah.
right?
Uh-huh.
That she collected of people who sacrificed themselves for the Doctor. That was her fatal flaw.
Yeah.
Because Danny and the Brigadier didn't do what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
Right.
But the, and had sentience, but we'll get into that in a bit, because... Uh-huh. That whole thing about the inhibitor chip, and then she does take it out, and yet he can still shout at soldiers and hold her in his arms. Yeah.
Because love is a promise, yo.
Love is a promise, baby.
And this is the thing, is this? What's funny is this exact trope about the women in the tight, authoritative outfits who are very evil and very nuts. He's done this over and over and over again.
Uh-huh.
Finally gets it right.
This
is the one where
it works. Then he may or may not have just smoked it.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the subject of Missy and her Mary Poppins outfit,
okay.
which is not a goth Mary Poppins outfit. It's not steampunk Mary Poppins outfit. It's not goth steampunk Mary Poppins. It is straight up Mary Poppins. And Tony Lee in particular has been mentioning, hey, you guys, Mary Poppins, not so nice in the books. And I agree with that, but I also kind of disagree with that because I've read the books, and I've read the books recently for a project that I was going to do. But anyway, so I've read all the Mary Poppins books, both as a child and as an adult. And she is benevolent. She is very stern, and she has a very strict and firm belief in what is right and proper and how people should behave.
Right.
But she still goes out every Thursday for tea with Bertie the chimney sweep. It has its moments of silliness, but it is also very weird and dark, the Mary Poppins books. And I think, to me, the difference between the Disney Mary Poppins and the book Mary Poppins is like the difference between Matt Smith's Doctor and Capaldi's Doctor. And I think that Missy's outfit, Missy is trying to relate to the Doctor, and so she dresses like Mary Poppins from the books. And I think that's a really interesting way of calling out, this is what this Doctor is like. And I highly recommend, even as an adult, you read the books, because they are Patrick McGoohan, the prisoner, weird in some ways.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they are kind of, I'm not saying that they're so dark you shouldn't read them to your children, because I read them when I was
Grimm's fairy tales for Grimm.
They're less grim than Grimm.
Yeah.
But they're just very, especially the one about the lady who owned the candy shop and the one about the zoo. You know, Mary Poppins is not a human being, you guys.
Yes.
She might be partly human, but she is not. And people are like, oh, Mary Poppins is a Time Lord. Ha ha. No, you guys, seriously. Her cousin is a Naga, okay? Do you know what a Naga is? It's not something that makes plastic for cheesy couches. It's a half snake, half person. And that is her cousin.
Wow.
Is that canon?
Yeah. That is in the first book.
I never read the books. I got one.
You
of
would
books.
Like them.
Oh, wow.
Someone gave one of the books to my daughter, and I don't know if she ever read it.
Uh-huh.
She read all the Oz books, but she never read that.
It's good shit, you guys.
Yeah. Okay.
But isn't it interesting, though? You're absolutely right. It's actually Capaldi who's Mary Poppins.
Capaldi is benevolent, so Mary Poppins, it's not even funny.
Benevolent, but weird.
And dark.
Yeah, and so the Master is, you're right, she's the distorted to, Bizarro.
Yes. Capaldi. She's Bizarro! Trying to... Bizarro, I'm helping. She's trying to relate to him, because as she stated, she's trying to tell him that they are the same. So she dresses like straight up from the books Mary Poppins.
Wow. Anything redeems himself, basically, redeemed, but he made
up for his worst mistake he ever made in his life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And him sending that kid back instead of himself was just a selfless, act of love.
Sadly, though, in the reaction panel, we got a fair number of people who had no idea who that kid was.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
They just hadn't paid enough attention to that scene in the previous week.
Oh.
Yeah, wow.
And so they were like, who's... Because we never really got a good look at the kid. He never spoke.
Yeah.
So suddenly, now we're getting a good look at him. Who's this?
Yeah.
I knew who it was. But, yeah, but I knew there it was. There was some confusion there.
It was interesting, but he took control of those Cybermen and he led them to where they needed to go. Yeah.
Ironically, he turned into an officer.
Yeah. Yes.
And a gentleman.
That's funny. So speaking of an officer and a gentleman, we saw the brig in a form, sort of.
Kind of.
And now that my thing to that was really great. It was also a little bit like almost a reset button, because we have the Doctor here in a position where he can't kill the Master, and he doesn't want
Clara
to kill the Master, and so he's like, what do I do? He's at a stalemate kind of thing.
The reason he didn't want to do this is not because he's not willing to kill people.
Right.
He kills people all the time.
Uh-huh.
What he was not willing to do is kill out of hate or anger.
And cold blood.
And he wasn't going to let anyone else.
Well, he didn't want to become
like
the master. Yeah, that would make him the master.
Yeah, exactly.
And he, but he didn't want Clara to do it.
No.
And he didn't want to do it, but given the choice between the two.
Mm. Yeah, and so we see. Well,
I don't know that he.
Nancy, tell him what we saw. Tell him what we saw.
Well, the cyber brig. Boom. Or, you know, it was a different color flash than I think we saw.
Somebody pointed that out in the reaction room. Yeah. The bolt that killed Osgood, for example, was red.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And this one was blue, which has generally been used for teleportation.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not sure that. I think that was a little subtle. So, but of course.
You always have to. You need an out. For
you gotta
the
have. You gotta. You gotta, yeah. You gotta have an out.
Yeah. So, I don't think the master. Uncertainty. I don't think the master would have created Cybermen arm guns that would turn on her.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think
that too.
I don't think that the Cybermen that shot her thought that it was going to teleport her away.
Right.
But it is possible that is what happened.
It's like the master's ring getting picked up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're just leaving that little thing there that you can pick up on later when some other writer says, "Hey, it's time to bring back the master."
If I had to have a guess, I would say that that gun dematerialized her atomized the body, but dematerialized her to the hard drive.
And
upon that event happening, the Master's TARDIS, wherever that is, those two get together and leave.
Yeah. Or just it was a transmat. Who knows? Yeah.
You never know.
But yeah, you always gotta have an out for the Master.
I hope we don't see her. As much as I enjoyed her performance, I hope we don't see the Master again for a while.
Yeah.
Well, it's effective when he's held back a few
at
runs.
The very, very least. Halfway through the next season.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Yeah.
So, although not that we begrudge Michelle Gomez a gig.
No, wait, you guys. Oh, yeah. I got a better idea. Let's put her in every story now.
Oh, okay. It worked one year.
Let's just do a...
Trapped on Earth.
Let's do a spin-off show called Master of What?
Yeah.
So we got the Master possibly still out there, but... What the hell, man? Do we have Cyberman / Iron Man Brigadier like flying around?
I don't know.
Solving crimes and mysteries.
Yeah, he probably flew.
But
into
you didn't
the
see
sun.
Him explode.
No, you didn't. But I don't.
That's
no,
another not. One of those like you can rationalize it that he flew into the sun because who wants to be a Cyberman? Or you can leave it for something else.
Yeah,
if someone else wants to pick that.
And I hope we don't see these Cybermen again for a while, because I'm still not real keen on it.
Although, I really enjoyed the retro look of the Cybermen.
I did like the design. Yeah. I liked the design
was very good.
The way Danny's face plate came off, I thought, wow, that's really clever. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At first, I didn't recognize him, all that makeup.
Yeah.
It's got to be Danny, isn't it?
That looked like it hurt.
Yeah, well, he had been dead, so.
Yeah. I liked that, as I was saying off mic earlier, all the Cybermen that came back were actually people who had sacrificed themselves that one, from this, across this season and earlier. Mm-hmm. That's where all these Cybermen were coming from. And that's why they were all willing to follow Danny. Not just because he had the bracelet, but because they were fighting their own inhibitor chip, so
right,
to speak.
Right.
Oh, yes. I have another point
that
we were talking about last night.
Uh-huh.
Okay, somebody explained to me
yes.
why it was that Missy was trying to get Clara and the doctor together and keep them together. That whole business with the phone number.
I got it.
What Michelle was the has reason? Her
hand up. Since RIP the Pharos Project, I shall be the fountain of bollocks for this.
Fountain of bollocks.
So, you remember the phone starts ringing on the TARDIS.
Right.
So basically, she knew that there was a possibility that the Master was going to come along and foil her terrible plan. That was probably not going to come together. And so she arranged things so that she got them together because she identified Clara as a good companion for the doctor. And in a moment where the doctor could have done some damage to the plan, Clara rings up the phone because she needs help with Danny. Remember, she said the phone was ringing, and she said, "That's the sound of your leash being yanked, Doctor. Help me, help me."
Yeah.
So he had to go to help Clara instead of focusing on what the Master was up to.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was that kind of like.
But she, I mean, to begin with, that whole way back with Matt Smith, mm-hmm. when he's the monk and he gets the phone call.
Right.
Well, don't forget the Master has a time machine, so could yeah. have looked forward. Seen what Clara did in the alternate timeline that's been undone, and said, "All right, that's companion material. I can work with that."
Okay.
And also, she doesn't want the Doctor. The Master doesn't want the Doctor to die, mm-hmm. and so the Great Intelligence comes along, and she's like, "Okay, well, this person is really good, so I'm going to put them together, and she will be the Doctor's companion and help." Remember how we were saying she's a bit too perfect of a companion.
She's
handpicked by the Master to help the Doctor and keep him on track and alive,
right through the timeline. Right.
Okay,
but then once that's undone, his version of Clara was done for.
Right.
You know, that was the accomplishment of that.
Right. Yeah, this is post Impossible Girl Clara.
And that's why we've gotten such a completely different Clara this season.
Entirely possible.
Yeah, she's been on. Now she's on her own.
Right.
Wow. Okay. That's heavy. That's some heavy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. My brain hurts.
Shut up, phone.
Okay, everybody, thanks again for staying tuned and listening to the Happiness Patrol. I want to thank everybody that we got to meet at L.I. Who for coming out and saying hi.
Yes.
It was just absolutely more wonderful than I can possibly imagine.
This is a convention the fire marshal hates, and we love it.
Oh, yeah. It's really great. Really great.
We're pretty bad.
Thank you for coming up to us if we've never met before and letting us know that you listen and that you like what we're doing and, you know, keep giving us feedback.
Buy us drinks.
And that too. You can always buy us drinks. Yeah.
Special thanks to Ken Deep.
Yes.
Who helped put this together.
And Billy Davis and Andre Tessier. Yeah.
The whole staff.
The whole team.
Lots of panels to run my mouth on. They gave us a live podcast.
Which you will be hearing later in its own special little time slot. Time slot.
It's getting a special release.
Yeah, it's getting a special release.
A very special after-school special.
It is. It will be. But I promise you, no Scott Baio. And no Chrissy McNichol either.
All right.
So.
No.
Damn, I kind of
look at
Chrissy McNichol. Yeah. So, anyhow.
So, if we haven't already made this plain, you need to sign up for L.I. Who 3 and come out.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be
at a different hotel.
In a different hotel, which I hope
it's going to be at a Hyatt, you guys. It's so swanky.
A real Hyatt. And it's going to be on my birthday weekend.
Yay.
Oh, well, there you have it.
Yeah, finally there's going to be a Doctor Who convention on my birthday.
Oh, yes. Well, there you have it.
Because there hasn't been yet.
Well,
Every other weekend in November there's been a convention.
Well, finally you'll get yours.
I will.
Yes.
You can buy me cake.
Buy your cake.
But you're still making us sourdough bread, right?
I will still make you sourdough.
Oh my God. Hey, listen, you guys, if you want to hear a little bit more of the Happiness Patrol, you can always go to our blogspot. It's
thehappinesspatrol.blogspot.com.
That is correct.
I know, because it's my job to say it, damn it.
It's her job. And you know, we can stalk us.
Stalk us.
On Twitter.
Twitter?
Yeah.
The H Patrol.
Yeah, yeah. Stalk.
I thought you stalked on Facebook. That's why you threw me.
Well, you could do that. You could do that too.
You don't Twitter stalk. You Facebook stalk.
What is called followers? You gather followers. Okay, maybe Twitter's a cult? I don't know. Whatever. Anyway. Whatever. So, just send us your comments and your suggestions to the Happiness Patrol. That's our email address is the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com.
How do you spell?
I don't know.
We'll have to go
look at probably with a U. So,
Siri. How do you spell?
Anyway, gang, I am Louis B.
I'm Nancy A.
I'm Michelle H.
And I'm Chaz M. And I'm Butt Nanny.
All right. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
You've been listening to the Happiness Patrol. We'll be right back.
Ooh, Patty?
Yeah, that's the way it starts.
I told you we have a format.
We have a format.
Yes, we do. Whether you like it or not.
Isn't this funny? I think I like it better in Skype because I can do it pantsless.
Yeah, it was must.
Well,
pants.
I tell you what. Here, let
pants
me.
Pants are definitely required.
Just gonna get a little comfy.
Yeah. No, guys, don't mind if I get comfortable.
Edit point.
Okay, so okay.
That'll be our next. That'll be our ribbon for Galley. Okay. Yeah. Happiness Patrol. Edit point.
Ooh, my cosplay can be a giant pair of scissors. So there was a hey Heather. Yeah, we love you.
She
Heather.
Said hi.
She said hi.
I could be Delia Derbyshire, and I could be like, you know.
Looping tape around his neck.
Jesus Christ.
Need more socks.
Needs more socks. There's your episode title.
Finally, a use for an Android tablet.
Oh! Oh. Boom, boom, boom.
Sick burn.
Okay.
We can hear.
Yeah.
The only difference is there's no purring.
I'm trying to get my hands off.
Yes.
No, you don't get to take your pants off.
I think better with my pants off.
Well,
sometimes.
Don't be off.
You can Skype us from the other room.
Okay. Yeah.
TMI. TMI.
I could easily defend that. Hey, portable girlfriend, you can take your complaints. Take her anywhere. Take her on the bus.
Oh, you know, totally send your fine. Complaints to the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com.
May I also remind you how much a block of concrete actually weighs?
Oh,
as portable as you think.
Yeah, you don't want to drop her. In
well, I wonder if you would hurt.
She was,
no,
she was a
that's the defense.
She was a slate tile if she was anything.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And but as I said,
put that right. Yeah.
After
don't be use too much lube, or you're gonna be in trouble.
So after
there's no depth.
After
Nancy, hurry up and pee.
so just as an aside,
pee faster. Okay.
Just as an aside,
that's a T-shirt.
So yeah.
Copyright the Happiness Patrol.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Charles Schultz.
Okay.
Yeah, he's in.
Yes, we don't want Stephen Moffat to stop listening to the Happiness Patrol, so we will edit that out.
Write what you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It was very, 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 very controversial.
See, that's why you can't repeat a word on just a minute.
Some people liked it, and other people didn't like it.
I'm your only friend, I'm not your only friend, but I'm a little glowing friend, but really, I'm not actually your friend, but I am. There's a picture opposite me of my primitive ancestry that stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Well, I respect that a lot. I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming Argonauts, bluebird of friendliness, like guardian angels, it's always near. Blue canary in the alibi light switch, who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul, not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. While you're at it, keep the night light on inside the birdhouse in your soul.